The children have read through parts of Matthew 6, the Sermon on the Mount, the most important sermon maybe in the history of the world. Jesus continues on from there. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So knowing that this is the scripture for the day, I've been thinking about anxiety, worry, a good bit lately. Some of you know that this past week I had the joy of accompanying my parents to St. Louis. My sister, who is their favorite child, lives in St. Louis, and they wanted to go see her. They needed help getting there, and so I got to go be with them for that trip. I'm thinking about anxiety, and I'm sitting on the airplane, and I realize something happens in me when the door to the airplane closes and you're sitting in your seat. For me, that's when my anxiety spikes. And I started wondering, why is that the case? Why is it that my anxiety goes up when I don't have anything to do? Why is it that my anxiety goes up when I can't do anything? Oh, maybe my anxiety is related to the situations where I don't have any say-so or control. Maybe my anxiety goes up when things are out of control and I can't do anything about it. Started thinking a little bit more about that. It may explain why I've never been on a cruise ship before. Why, Amy and I don't think we'll ever be on a cruise ship. Because you leave port and all of a sudden, what if I want to get off this boat? You can't. Things are out of control. It may be why when we go somewhere, I feel like I have to be the one that drives. Could it be that I am a control freak? That's a rhetorical question. So I can pinpoint the source of anxiety in my life. My anxiety goes up when I'm in circumstances where things are out of control or out of my control. And I wonder if that's the case for some of you too. I listen to the things that you worry about, that we pray about, and it feels like we pray a lot when things are out of control. Could be medical diagnosis. Could be just what it's like to raise kids and know that you can do the best you can, but a lot of things are just beyond your control. It could be circumstances and situations with where you work. It could be, we've seen this in the national scene in the last months with government shutdown, food insecurities, when it feels like things are out of control, the temperature in the room, the national anxiety goes up. You know what it's like to know that a hurricane is bearing down on Charleston, and there's not a whole lot you can do about that. And as it approaches, anxiety levels can increase. It could be even smaller things. Maybe these are diagnostic tests. How do you function when you're in traffic and things aren't going the way you want them to go? You end up in the slow lane, no matter, even if you change lanes, then the lane you get in becomes a slow lane. Or maybe when things are out of control with projects that you're working on, or you're waiting on other people to do their part so you can do your part. Maybe if we dig down a little bit and figure out what causes those spikes in our anxiety, or what causes those nights where we just can't rest easy. For me, and I'm guessing for you, it's likely when things are beyond your control. And maybe it's into those moments specifically that Jesus says in this scripture, three times, "Don't worry. Do not be anxious." I've wondered about the helpfulness. I love Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But sometimes I don't find him to be particularly helpful. I wonder if I tried to be like Jesus and say the things that Jesus says, if you came into my study and we talked about things that were weighing on your heart, and you finished telling me those things, and I said, "Listen very carefully, do not worry." That's basically it. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Or what if we set up a little booth where we have folks coming into the food pantry here at Westminster, folks that we know have food insecurities. And we took this Matthew 6 and we wrote it out on a little card. It says, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry. Don't worry." Sometimes we give you food, but we're not giving you food today. We're giving you a note card with the Lord himself that tells you, "Don't worry about it." Is that helpful? No. Right. So asking it that way helps us to realize that something must be going on with the way Jesus is teaching here. Listen to me, he is not giving you a new commandment that you cannot keep. If you look back at the whole Sermon on the Mount, then you realize that Jesus is interpreting some of the law, reinterpreting some of the law. You've heard it said, "You shall not murder, but I say unto you." You've heard it said, "You shall not this, that, or the other, but I say unto you." Jesus is not here giving us a brand new commandment that's harder than the old stuff that is only going to pile guilt upon us. When we go to the Lord in prayer, he's not telling us, "You really should be ashamed about how anxious you are." Instead, the whole purpose of the Sermon on the Mount and on this section in particular is Jesus is giving us a description of what life could be like under the reign and rule of his kingdom. It might be a little better to translate it this way. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be worried. There's another path. There's another way. And we need to hear that so much because I think most of the times we go to Jesus looking for peace with the lives that we've created for ourselves. Does that make sense? We choose X, Y, Z, and then we feel the anxiety of those choices, and we say, "Jesus, we want you to bail us out of the anxiety that we're feeling right now." And Jesus can do that for sure, but I think what Jesus says is, you don't have to live with this paradigm. Instead, there's another way. Maybe living under the reign and rule of me in the kingdom is a pathway to being less anxious. Maybe Jesus, instead of saying, "Don't you dare worry," maybe he's saying, "Let me describe for you a pattern in life where you don't have to be consumed with the anxiety that you're dealing with." And to illustrate, Jesus uses the birds and the flowers. They do what they do. And by the way, sparrows, I read some bird person this week that said, sparrows are the closest, if not the most busy birds in all of the created order. So it's not like Jesus is saying, "Don't worry about it, just sit there, everything will be okay." Sometimes we have to work. But what he is saying is they're not consumed with worry. I think what he's doing with the lilies of the field, what he's doing with the birds of the air, is he's using them as examples of God's providence. And maybe a correction for our insane need to be in control. And it might help if we dig into that control a little bit. We've talked before about the Garden of Eden and how the fall of humanity sets a pattern, but we also learn a lot about ourselves and our tendencies by looking at what happens in the Garden of Eden. It is a lie of the serpent. If you eat of the fruit of the tree, then when you eat it, you will be like God. I want you to think of what Adam and Eve had at the moment. They had everything except they could tell. They could tell that there was someone on the ladder a little higher than them who had more control than they did. That's God. And so the temptation was to be like God, to have more control. That temptation to control, I believe, is at the core of our anxiety. And so when you give into it, or when you feel like life is going in a way that you have no control, then what do you tell yourself? I think there are at least two things. And the first one is, you know, we never have as much control as we think to begin with. Consider the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. Then consider your life. You never have as much control over things or people or situations or outcomes as you think you do. And the second thing is, maybe instead of being threatened by number one, recognize that number two is, maybe it's a good thing that you don't have as much control as you think you do. That's a practical application for me. Sitting in the airline seat, what if all of a sudden I got over my anxiety by somebody putting me in control? What if I did have control in that moment? I don't know how to fly a plane. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. It is very good that I'm not in control of those circumstances. Maybe in those anxious moments, what Jesus is telling us is, give thanks. Give thanks that there is a God who is working out His divine purposes. And sometimes they're hidden from view. Sometimes you don't understand what's going on. And sometimes the things that are happening in and of themselves are bad. But even beneath the bad, there's a God who orchestrates everything, and that God is good. That God can be trusted. Let me give you just one example. You know, when we've turned to Lent and Easter, and even Holy Week, we've talked before about how the Gospels slow down and how the events of the life of Jesus at that moment get very tumultuous. We see Jesus' life, it appears, to be going out of control. Is Jesus in control when Judas betrays him? Is Jesus in control when he goes to the garden and they arrest him? Is Jesus in control when they are flogging him? Is Jesus in control when they put the cross on his back and he takes it to Golgotha? Is Jesus in control when they crucify him? At one level, you could see all of those horrible things happening and start to think, everything must be chaos. Nothing must be good. And anxiety levels must be high. But what you and I know is that Jesus is emptying himself intentionally. And by the way, that is an example of what he's teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And behind all of it is an unseen plan. It doesn't mean that those circumstances are good. But what it means is there is a God who cares for you, and He is good. I think Jesus tells us not to worry, not to pile some extra anxiety on top of us, but to give us, in those moments of anxiety and those moments of worry, a sense of comfort and hope. To lean over into your most anxious moments and to take you in His hands and say, you don't have to worry. The God of the universe is good. The God of the universe loves you with an everlasting love. And if He cares for the birds and cares for the lilies, then surely He will care for you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Friends, I invite you to stand our hymn of response, 465.